Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. So good to have you with us. Hope your day's off to a good start. We have much to talk about. A little bit later on the program, we'll talk with Dr. Peter Chin Ong, who's back from UC San Francisco, the School of Medicine and the Medical Center. One of our favorite guests who's regularly talked with us about the effects of COVID-19. We'll get his thoughts about a variety of news related to COVID-19 and, of course, the concerns that large numbers of people in close proximity in the protests that have taken place could lead to an increase in cases of COVID-19. We'll talk about that and the ways public health officials are attempting to track that. Also, we'll hear from people throughout the course of the show commenting on the protests, where for the past couple of nights, we've had very large protests that have taken place in downtown Los Angeles, in Hollywood, two straight nights. And yesterday we focused on people who were there responding to the events. And this morning, we also want to give you a chance, if you were out at any of the protests, the large gathering that was out in front of Mayor Eric Garcetti's house in Hancock Park, if you were at one of the Hollywood protests, if you were in downtown protesting yesterday, I'd like to hear your perceptions of what happened at any of those events. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. There's also the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. You can tweet at AirTalk, or you can post on the AirTalk Facebook page to let us know what it was like for you at those different events. If you're a resident of those communities where the protests occurred, I'd like to hear your perceptions as well about protesters, about police actions in the areas, your thoughts about how it affected your community. If you're in Hancock Park, Larchmont Village area, in the Hollywood area, if you live or work downtown, and if you're a business owner, I'm interested in hearing what sorts of steps you've taken. If you're in an area where you perceived you were vulnerable to looting, what are the things that you did to try and protect your business? I saw in some cases there were business owners who were coming down and just staying full-time at their businesses, in some cases armed, some cases having their friends come down, armed or not, to try and protect their businesses. Now, we've gone a couple of nights without widespread looting, using the cover of the protesting as a way to carry out those crimes. 866-893-5722 or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Again, you can tweet at AirTalk. You can also post on the AirTalk page. Also later this hour, we'll be talking with African-American faith leaders, Pastor J. Edgar Boyd of First African Methodist Episcopal Church of L.A., 142-year history in Los Angeles. The senior pastor will be joining us there. We'll also have back with us the Reverend Najuma Smith Pollard. She studied under the late Cecil Chip Murray for many years, the senior pastor of First AME in Los Angeles. She herself was a pastor and program manager at USC, at the Chip Murray Center for Community Engagement at USC. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Brandon in the Mid-Wilshire District, good to have you with us. Where were you yesterday, Brandon?
Yes, I was in the Hollywood protest. We walked for about 6 to 10 miles, or I walked with them for about 6 to 10 miles from like noon to six. And overall, it was very peaceful. The National Guard showed up kind of when I was there, and they had their big Humvees. And they were very, very peaceful. The police were a little more aggressive, kind of pushing back at times on the protesters. But overall, the National Guard seemed very relaxed, very chill, didn't really move from their posts and just kind of stood there. And even if protesters were standing by them, they didn't really move.
And with the police, what did you see that precipitated them being a little aggressive, as you put it?
Yeah, there were a few times where the police wanted to kind of stop protesters from moving down the street. And they would kind of...
I think we just lost Brandon on that call. We'll see if we can get him back. We're at 866-893-KPECC. The AirTalk page, kpecc.org. You can tweet at AirTalk and share with us your perceptions. And again, not just those who were marching in the protests. Obviously, we want to hear from people like Brandon who were at any of the locations where the protests took place. But we also want to hear from people in the community where protests were, because you might have had a bird's eye view of what was taking place on the streets of your neighborhood, business owners as well. How you perceived it, and what, if any, steps you took to protect your business as well. 866-893-KPECC. Brandon, I think we have you back. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. You cut out. So you were describing, and correct me if I'm wrong, that as the group was moving down the street, that police tried to stop movement in certain areas. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. It was specifically on the smaller subsect off groups, because there were a lot of different groups that popped up and they weren't all together, and they kind of merged around 4 p.m. into one larger group from what I saw. And so the smaller groups, the police would kind of try to push them back. And at times they were like, you know, getting a stance like they could do something more than just move forward. And so you saw some like higher tensions at points, but nothing from what I saw ever got violent. It just felt, you could feel the tension in the air.
I wasn't out on the streets, but I was watching much of the television coverage, and it looked like, again, as we saw over the weekend, that the protests themselves were very peaceful, that the people that were participating had a pretty clear mission.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I didn't see a single instance of non-peaceful protesting. Everyone was together. Everyone was as a community. You know, the only, you know, kind of part that you could say was still peaceful, but it was unlawful, was there were protesters on microphones encouraging people to stay out past curfew. You know, again, you know, they were saying that if you go home at, you know, 6 p.m., they win, we lose. You know, staying out past curfew is how you get the message out, and how you, you know, they're not protecting us. So, you know, we can't let them, you know, tell us what to do type of.
So what did you do, Brandon? Were you done by six, or did you stay out past the curfew?
I drove.
We lost him again. All right. Let's talk with Russell in Van Nuys. Brandon, thank you for that call. Hopefully you can hear me say that. Russell, I understand you work in Van Nuys. So share with us what you saw, because Monday was the day that community had the protest and looting, right?
That is correct. And it was going on and escalating throughout the day. We believe that in order to protect our area, we just wanted to be present. So we would go in and out of the front door to make sure that people know there is somebody here. I observed over a period of about 5 hours, the rioters became worse, and their behavior just, you know, became harsher and more difficult for the police to handle. But I must say, for that the time period that I was observing, the police used extreme restraint. They were back and forth in different blocks in order to control them around my area. And whatever they did was really effective, even though, yes, there was some damage. But if it wasn't for their presence, it would have been far worse. I believe that the police on Monday in Van Nuys really showed professionalism, and I saw it, and I wanted to share that with everybody.
Russell, I appreciate it. Russell, what kind of a business do you have?
It's a professional office. It's a law office.
Okay. And so were you out in front or doing anything to try and ward off people that would come inside, or were you relying completely on the police to do that?
Relying on the police, what we did was just physical presence, just, you know, kind of in and out of the front door, hanging around the front door. And it was a deterrent as they were running down the block. I mean, you could just see that if the areas that were with nobody present appeared to be an area for the congregation, and then they would just start running from that area to, let's say, a different path. So when they saw people around, they would just choose another area to go to or run past you. So we just thought that it was effective, and it worked for us, at least for our block.
All right. Russell, I appreciate it. We're at 866-893-KPECC, the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Let's talk next with Allison in Culver City. I understand you were at a Culver City protest organized by high school students.
Yeah, it was the students at Culver City High, and it drew a ton of students and parents and community members. And I'd say there were a couple hundred. There were kind of two protests that later in the day merged as one. And at one point, a lot of the students were at the intersection of Overland and Culver and in the street blocking traffic and taking a knee for, you know, 8.5 minutes. And cars were super patient and couldn't get by. And everyone was just there. And then at 4 o'clock, it was curfew in Culver City. And I noticed 4 police officers came among us and just asked us really kindly, hey, it's curfew. Could you get moving? And then when I walked down the street, I saw that there were about 6 other police cars with all the officers down there. And I just really appreciated that they sent in 4 officers instead of 6 police cars worth of people. And eventually everyone just moved out of the street and moved on. And it was just a really positive experience, I think, for the protesters, for the cars that were coming by, except the ones that were annoyed about the traffic. But and the police and how they dealt with it. So,
well, that's nice to hear. Allison, were there people not involved in the protest interacting with the protesters in any way, either showing support or showing opposition or what?
Definitely cars going by honking, supporting, bringing out fists, offering water. Just people were overly, really positive and supportive. I think one person went by and said something negative, but, you know, this was over hours that I was there. There wasn't that much negativity, and I would say many more people were in support.
Appreciate it. Allison in Culver City joining us. Mestiza Barbie posts on Twitter, Larry, the LAPD tactics to surround all protesters in order to arrest them for curfew violations is wrong. We're protesting for justice. We can't even hold a candlelight vigil because the curfew starts before sundown. That's Mestiza Barbie tweeting at Air Talk. Brian posts a message on the Facebook page. I was in downtown Fairfax and City Hall yesterday. My impression is that the LAPD can do a better job of communicating with groups instead of relying on intimidating maneuvers, which set off waves of panic, including the use of projectiles. Also, on Saturday in Fairfax, I, for one, was shot with a rubber bullet from at least 20 yards as I took a photograph with my SLR camera. Seems there's a trend to disrespect or abuse photogs and journalists. Let's see. We have also Keith, who tweets at Air Talk. Amazing to see so many protesters marching down Van Ness Boulevard into the Larchmont Village area. And suddenly they were boxed and arrested. 150, I'm told. Also, cars were towed, including neighbors who weren't involved. Presume they have to pay impound fees to get their cars back. Let's see. Mestiza Barbie also adds on Twitter, the curfew, which begins at 6 p.m., ensures white-collar professionals who work 9-5 and commute home have no way to exercise their First Amendment right. You can share your comments again on Twitter by tweeting at AirTalk. You can post to the AirTalk Facebook page, kpecc.org. EB in the Fairfax District, thank you for joining us.
Yes, my name is Evie. My dad, the 81-year-old man that owned a retail store on Melrose since 1992, and his store and all of his belonging was looted Saturday night, and they set the store on fire. He's lost everything he had. My mom passed away 3 years ago, and these two used to go to the store together and spend all day together, and then she passed away, and now the only thing he had to hold on to was this store that he would go in, he would sit down, and even though business wasn't good, but he was alone, he couldn't go home, so he would stay in the store, his friend would come over. Now he has nothing. Everything is gone.
Abby, we're so sorry. This is It's just very, very sad to hear about this. What kind of a store did your father have?
It was a shoe store that has this big sign of Doc Martin on there. We've been there, as I said, so long, and all the neighbors know us. I have kids that come, I have people that come to the store that they were kids and they used to go to high school and they used to buy shoes from us. They come back and they tell my dad, oh, I used to buy shoes from you 20 years ago. I still have it, or I want another one exactly like it. So he had a really, really good rapport with people. He was one of the neighborhood guys. And he needed the money, you know. An 81-year-old man that goes to work 7 days a week from 10 in the morning till 8 o'clock at night is not a guy that has millions of dollars sitting in his bank account. He needs the money to put food on the table. Now there is nothing.
Epi, I'm so sorry to hear this. Have people in the neighborhood, customers of your father's store, have they reached out to him or you or other members of the family?
Yes, we are all helping. People have helped a lot. We have set up a GoFundMe account for him that says local Melrose store looted and burned down to ground. There's an account there. If anybody can help, Halle Berry actually tweeted it out and talked about it on People magazine interview. I am trying to reach out to whoever I can. We used to have customers like Shaquille O'Neal. Actually, there's a picture on the on that GoFundMe account with Shaquille O'Neal actually hugging my mom and sitting in our store. We used to have Mike Tyson as a customer because we've been there so long.
Mm-hmm.
Know us, you know. People used to come and hang out in the stores. We are refugees from Iran. We came here. We ran away from what happened to us in that country. We couldn't live there. We came here. We built a life. Thank God we are healthy. I have two other sisters.
Yeah.
Everybody's working hard. Now this man, this 81-year-old man, has nothing to look forward to.
Ebi, are you angry at the person or persons who did this to your store?
No, I'm not angry because they were angry and this is what they did. People have the right to have their voice to be heard. What happened to Mr. Floyd was absolutely wrong. People should protest. People should have their voice heard. But by destroying other people, other hardworking people property, you are actually not letting your voice heard. You are hurting yourself. And the people that they looted it, there's a video on YouTube that they're breaking the window that going into the store. And it's actually, the guy said, let's go get us some money.
All right.
I consider myself as a minority.
Ebi, I appreciate your call. I'm so sorry. I need to break. We're going to continue with listener calls. We're so sorry about what your family has gone through. And I am glad to hear that people in the community, Halle Berry, other people, reaching out and supporting your family in the store. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. Also on the KPECC app, and you can also use your smart speaker at home. Just tell it to play KPECC and stay with us throughout the course of the day. We have more calls to come. I'm asking for those of you at any of the protests in Southern California, residents of communities where protests were held, or people with businesses in those communities to share your experience. 866-893-5722. Back in a minute. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll talk with African-American listeners as well as community leaders to hear their thoughts about what's transpired in Los Angeles and across the country in the past several days. Let's talk with Ben in Culver City. Ben, what's been your experience?
Well, yesterday was the first time that I went and marched. I marched in Abbot Kinney in Venice, and it was just a really positive, empowering experience to be there. And I felt that it was important to get out even during the pandemic. You know, I wore an N95 mask. I tried to keep as much distance as I could, but I felt that it was just important to be there on the streets and kind of just be in solidarity with the people here.
And what was the composition of the crowd in Venice?
I think it was made up of just, it seemed like a lot of varying racial, I mean, there were Black people, white people, Hispanic people, young people, old people, people with their kids, guys with skateboards, with BLM taped onto it, Black Lives Matter. You know, it was very diverse makeup in Venice.
And how did you, and if you know, how did other people find out about it?
Actually, that's a great question. I was on that app, Citizen, which some friends recommend that I just download, and I just kept an eye on it, and I saw little pings for protests starting. I hopped on my bike from Culver City, drove down Venice Boulevard, and then I went on Lincoln trying to find the protest. And then from there, I just followed police helicopters. I ended up on Abbot-Kinney, and I ended up in the middle of the protest.
Wow. So you felt like it was very positive, it sounds like. We've had some people at some of the protests who stayed past the 6 o'clock curfew or wanted to stay past 6 o'clock. What's your opinion, if you have one, about there being a 6 o'clock curfew and police enforcing that?
Well, I think that if you're seeing a lot less like kind of looting and criminal activity, then I think that police should probably start lifting the curfew. But I think that it's important if people are peacefully protesting the police, even if staying out after curfew, that's part of getting the message across. And I listened to some earlier talking about that it's if you're peacefully protesting and getting your voice heard, I think that's important. So I if people are staying out past curfew peacefully, I support it. I think people need to get their voices heard. And people around the world need to see people in the streets peacefully protesting about what's happening in America right now.
Ben, appreciate it. That's Ben in Culver City, who was at yesterday's march on Abbot-Kinney. Next with us is Derek in Van Nuys. So, Derek, were you there Monday when the protest took place and there was some looting that occurred as well?
Yes, I was very close to the Van Nuys Boulevard protest. I was working at a small beverage manufacturing facility about 4 blocks away. Around 9 a.m., we saw police helicopters start to circle in the area around the courthouse. A couple hours later, there was anywhere between 2 and up to 5 helicopters circling between police and news. Throughout the day, the action started to intensify, and then around about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it started to get intense with police covering the area, going back and forth, light sirens, fires going off, some fireworks or gunshots. I couldn't tell the difference in certain areas. And then around 4 o'clock, we decided it was a little bit too intense and decided to leave the area.
And yesterday, everything was peaceful in Van Nuys?
Absolutely calm. There's a lot of cleanup, a lot of windows boarded up. I could see community members helping everybody out. It was great to see all of that, people coming together after a very difficult time.
Did you feel like the people that were peacefully protesting in Van Nuys, that their message got across?
I believe it was heard, absolutely, especially with the presence of the news helicopters. I'm sure they were covering a combination of the good and the bad, but I do believe that a statement was made and came across.
Derek, I appreciated working in Van Nuys Monday. Left work, as he said, at 4 o'clock when he saw things heating up with police activity. Mike, in the Fairfax District, obviously, you would have seen a lot taking place on Saturday. First of all, share with us what the community is like today.
Well, it's quiet down there. We still have, everything is boarded up. We have the National Guard every day. They've been posted in different corners. And even last night, actually, they were really enforcing the curfew. So they were, you know, anybody that was out after dark, they were driving around with their lights on, the sort of searchlights of the vehicles, and actually engaging and in some cases arresting, but mostly just telling people to go home. On Saturday night, it was one of those days where it started really, quiet. I mean, you could hear the helicopters. You could hear, of course, there was that big protest on Fairfax and Santa Monica, where they burned the police cars and all those amazing photos from that. But as the night went on, it turned into, you know, most of the peaceful protesters left, and it instead became, you know, I guess you could distinguish between the protesters and the looters. And it was really interesting. I mean, we could see people driving their cars from who knows where and parking their cars and getting into big groups and going to the stores and smashing windows. I mean, it was over the course of a couple of hours. In the beginning, my neighbors and I were trying to kind of discourage people from doing that. But, you know, as time went on, it became larger groups and it became unsafe to try to discourage people.
Yeah, Mike, I appreciate it. Thank you for sharing your experiences. Amanda in Rancho Palos Verdes, you were part of a protest there, as I understand it, or a couple of them. Share with us what that was like.
I've been protesting for 4 days now, all the way from downtown to my own community, where we have a Donald Trump golf course, unfortunately. And it was peaceful at the golf course the entire time. But on Monday, we protested outside of the Palos Verdes Estates Police Department. And it was peaceful, but as the crowd got more rowdy and rowdier, we pleaded with the cops to take a knee with us for, I would say, 10 minutes. And after pleading and pleading, asking them to show us their empathy, only 2 out of the 20 cops that were there took a knee. And I just don't understand what they possibly gained from not taking a knee or why they did that, because it just felt like the 2 that took a knee just wanted to do the bare minimum to get the crowd to calm down. And one of the cops hugged a protester, but it just didn't feel like they really, it just felt like they were trying to do the bare minimum. It didn't felt like they were with us or anything like that at all.
All right, Amanda. Thanks. Which day was this that this protest was held?
That was Monday.
That was Monday. Okay.
Yeah.
And do you know, are any others planned for your community in future days?
Yeah, we are continuing to protest. Yesterday, we also had one at the police department. And today, there's also one at the police department as well in Malaga Cove.
All right. Amanda, thank you very much. Appreciate you sharing your observations about what was going on in Rancho Palos Verdes. Carlos writes on Twitter, how silly and stupid people talking over and over about their business losses, but not talking about the lost lives of Black people 400 plus years and counting. Well, yeah, I guess. But if it's your business that's lost, I think you can probably hold both things in your hand. Your disgust for racism and for violence against African Americans, and at the same time decry the loss of a business that you've poured your life's work and income into as well. Those don't seem to be contradictory.